Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting episode of Nerd Revolution Radio's Arrowverse Recaps.
All the excitement in one episode.
I just made that name up. Or have we been using that?
Sure.
Okay, that works. Once again, Jack, Frank, I'm Frank, he's Jack. We're going to recap the four Arrowverse shows that we watch, or attempt to watch, in Jack's case.
Yeah, it was a long week. It worked 7 to 11, 6 out of the last 7 days.
We're going to start with Batwoman. Batwoman episode, I forget the number, but the name is Mine is a Long Sad Tale.
It's exciting.
It is.
It is a long sad tale. It.
Obviously, Jack's not a huge fan of Batwoman. I didn't have as much problem with this episode this week. I enjoyed the non-Batwoman parts, which basically was the whole episode.
The show's getting better.
Yes. So, here's how I have my notes stacked out for this. We open up the episode with a gross autopsy.
Right. Yeah.
Alice is stealing rectangles of human flesh from dead corpses in the morgue.
Right.
Okay. That was actually kind of gross. Then we flash back to the Batcave, where Luke and Kate are kind of going over the
specs of the suit, what it does.
And then what the skin thief, as they're calling the person, is stealing and how they managed to get all these places real fast.
Right. And they talk about the night vision.
Night vision. Gotta have the night vision.
Well, she asked if there was goggles.
She did.
Which was a stab at Batman versus Superman.
Absolutely. Batman doesn't do goggles.
Right. Unless it's Batfleck.
We also, once again, learned that the GCPD has no access to the Wayne closed-circuit cameras that are obviously way better than anything the Crows or GCPD has in the city.
Right.
Okay. But we don't have any access to that.
No, and clearly they've been maintained really well for the last 3 years for some reason.
Right. Before Kate leaves the Batcave to go after the thief, she grabs a couple of bat grenades with her bat symbol on them already.
Yeah.
Because marketing.
Yeah, it's all about branding.
Yes. Let's see.
Well, so here's the thing, though. So, and we've got to be a little farther out now, time-wise.
Yes.
So she's had time to do...
Right, right. It's not like the hour she had...
No. This is caught up to the Arrowverse at this point.
Okay, so now
this is after the crossover.
Right.
Because they mentioned the crossover in this episode.
Did they?
They mentioned all the incident in Arkham. They actually mentioned that at the beginning of this episode.
That's right.
And that's the crossover from Elseworlds.
Okay. We then get Kate, as Batwoman, tracks down Alice.
Right.
With the help of...
her night vision
night
lenses.
Night vision goggles.
Lenses.
I'm sorry. Night vision lenses. They actually look kind of cool.
They did. That was closer. It was more what you see in the actual Batwoman costume.
Right.
Because in the one of the comic books, there's white over the eyes. So you actually got that classic look.
Right. And instead of... she uses a staff.
Right.
In this, which I thought was pretty cool. It wasn't a bad fight scene.
No.
It was pretty good. They're really good with their fight scenes in the whole universe, usually.
Yeah.
Supergirls are a little weak. Some of them.
We'll get there. This whole season's questionable on that show.
So she beats up all the bad guys in kind of a like the Zack Snyder-ish, flashes of she's fighting over here, she's fighting over there.
It looked like when Batfleck was using his night vision goggles,
right.
Which was kind of
right.
They're
pretty
tip
good
to that in general.
And Alice is just kind of standing around, and then Alice gets captured.
Right. And Kate takes her costume off immediately
because
that's
what
she does.
To. Yes. So Kate has Alice now hanging from a pipe in a cell.
Yep.
The same as she had her boyfriend, was it Dodson, I believe?
Somebody?
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Kate then wants to know what's going on, why she's doing it, then calls her father as a kind of a threat to make her confess.
Right. Yeah. So she calls her dad because they're so close.
Right. She calls her dad and tells her dad that she has captured Alice.
Right.
And she's holding her and then hangs up before he can trace the call.
Right. Well, not before he can trace the call.
Well, hangs up and he knowing that he will trace the call.
Right. No, he'll track her phone.
Right. Because Sophie's standing there because she's always. Because
they're the only two that work in the Crows.
Correct.
Right.
all the other people that are doing stuff
are worthless.
Apparently. So then the Kate and Alice have a talk. Kate wants to know what happened to her. And Alice agrees to tell her, but she has to show her.
Right. They got to do a road trip.
It's a road trip. It's a Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
So Kate and Alice get in a car. And Alice tells Kate about the... And my wording is all scratched up. Bones. Kate tells Alice about the... Alice tells Kate about the bones.
Right.
And the bone fragments.
Right.
And then we flashback.
Right.
But it's not an UGG.
No, it's not an UGG flashback.
No.
No. Well, those were flash forwards. Flashbacks are fine.
Flashbacks are fine.
Yeah.
So we flashback to Beth as a kid, and this strange man has found her.
Right.
And the strange man's son. He looks a little like Bill Hader.
He does. We got that part where she woke up, in that strange house, tried to catch the police, got told about the deer bones, not the human bones.
Right.
I think this is also when in the episode, because they're cutting around during this part, where you also have Catherine and Mary.
Catherine and Mary is in a little bit. Yes, that's actually next.
Right.
So... You go through the whole thing with what you were saying with Beth and as little girl.
Yeah, so, and Beth's in the house with the yeah, and it's, you know.
And it's the little boy that can mimic other voices, or we don't find that out yet.
We don't have that yet.
No, we don't have that yet. So, Sophie and Jacob trace the call, because as they're now, they're pairing everybody out.
Right.
So, Sophie and Jacob trace the call, and then we have a flash over to Mary and her mom, and she admits everything.
Yeah, that was,
like, right
that was
away.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Like, now all of a sudden she has guilt because she got caught, so she's telling everybody everything?
Yeah.
So
it doesn't really... That's a weird confession piece that went on there.
No. So Mary runs off.
Right.
And then we go to Kate and Alice at a diner that's out in the middle of nowhere with a lot of bikers around.
Right.
Alice is handcuffed and eating. They talk, and then we flash back.
Ordering beers.
Huh?
And ordering beers.
One beer, and then, okay, she's going to have a beer after all. Then they flash back again.
Right.
And now Alice is locked in a basement with a skin mask floating in water.
Well, that was when we met Johnny, or Mouse.
Mouse.
As he ends up being called, and he has the scarred face. And there's that reveal there.
Yes, that is, you know,
that's
face is scarred from something.
Seems to be why they're in this house, and why the dad's kept him in this house and just wants his kid to have a friend. And then he throws her into a jail cell.
Right. He throws her into the basement. And right. There's a skin face floating in the water.
Right.
Which is the nightmare that she's been having previous to this. Right.
And then Mary ends up at Wayne looking for Kate, right?
This is where we learned that the little boy can mimic any voice.
It's right.
At that point that we learn that. So this little boy has this ability to mimic anybody's voice at all.
That he hears.
Yeah. Which he demonstrated, he mimicked...
Somebody on TV.
Somebody on TV. It was like a reporter or something. Okay. Yes, then Mary decides to go to Wayne Tower looking for Kate, and a security guard, actually doing his job, brings Mary up to the office where Luke is.
Right.
Because Luke doesn't have a house.
Right, because Luke lives at Wayne Manor. I'm pretty sure that Mary's going to find out that Kate's Batwoman in the next... week and a half. Next 2 weeks.
I honestly expected it to happen with one of those little trip and fall. Oh, I activated the pearls. And
yeah, me too. But it's just going to be... I think they're going to play that, and that's going to be Team Batwoman. It's going to be Luke, and then Mary, and then...
Right, and eventually Sophie.
Yeah.
Because the previews for next week has Sophie figuring it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jacob tells Sophie everything in the car as they're driving to where the number was... Where they trace the number to.
You're the worst phone tracker ever.
Yes. Well, I mean, worst or best, it pinpointed exactly where they were in the name of the place.
It took them forever.
Well, yeah, it did that too. Batman would have had it.
Yeah.
In like seconds.
Yeah, so after they got that story, then Kate drinks her beer.
Yes, Kate drinks her beer.
After hearing that, she got a beer along with Alice.
Right, and then good night, Kate.
All right. And turns out that Alice led her there because all of her people were there waiting.
Right. Just as Sophie and Jacob pull up.
Yeah.
And get ambushed.
Right.
And I have here always explosives because there's a propane tank right out in front.
Right.
And Sophie shoots it and takes out all the bad guys.
Well, yeah. So you got to do it.
Right. And then...
It's only an hour show.
And then Jacob sees Dodson there. I'm going to call him Dodson. It may not be his name, but It's Dotson now.
Yeah.
At least until I correct myself.
Well, that's a different guy than her right hand, isn't it?
Mm-mm. No, oh, no. That's the same guy. Same guy.
I thought that was the guy that used to be a crow.
Yeah, that's her right hand. That's Dotson. Because Jacob jumps on top of him and starts beating him up, and Sophie stands there and just goes, "Sir, sir, sir, stop. No, don't hit him again."
Right.
So then we go back to Wayne Tower, where Mary is drunk and Luke is Googling.
Right. Because, there's going to be a thing between the two of them where all of a sudden she's not superficial and she falls for him. And...
Right. So then we go back to Kate and Beth, where now Kate is hanging up by her wrists.
Right.
A lot of people get hung up by their wrists in this show. You noticing that?
Yeah, too? That's kind of their move.
So we flash back again, and Beth is 9, is she?
Around there. I mean, she was trying to call her dad.
Right, but she managed to pick the lock on the door with a rusty nail that she pulled out of the thing, out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
She pulled a nail out of the wood. There's one nail that was able to be pulled out, and then picked the lock on the door because she probably learned that as a skill in her rich house growing up.
You do.
Right.
As you do.
Right. Yes, then Beth calls her father, and man
catches her. I don't think we ever got a name for her.
No. He catches her.
Right.
And makes her hang up, and tells her that if her father comes, he's going to kill him if he comes looking for her or something like that. Right. Okay. So Jacob does show up.
Yeah.
Which, we didn't know this previously, but Jacob actually showed up at this house, and Beth is locked in a room that Kate walks right up to, like behind a secret, I guess it's like a secret wall kind of a thing. And they're staring at each other through the wall, but neither one knows the other one's there. And if Beth makes a sound, the guy's going to kill her family, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know,
so
as Beth, you do when you kidnap.
So Beth makes no sound whatsoever, and Kate stares at the wall, and then they leave. The guy manages to convince Jacob that, I just played an awful prank, blah, 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 and shows that his son can mimic any voice.
Right.
And that it was his son that made the phone call. Okay.
And this is where Jacob and Sophie go back to looking now.
Correct. Now we find out that Alice is holding Kate in that same house.
Right. And this is actually when they mentioned Elseworlds. Sorry, I
You know what? I have something about that Arkham Breakout because we need villains. That's what I put. I didn't realize it was because of Elseworlds.
Yeah. That's it.
I thought this was there. Hey, we need to fill out some more villains. Let's break everybody out of Arkham again because that's Batman.
No, yeah, they pulled it into
right. So Mary is helping Luke at Wayne Tower research the Skin Pirate.
Yeah,
while eating pizza and complaining about her sister.
Because she needed all the pizza.
She basically ate all the pizza.
She did. And then she took the rest.
Yes. As Luke was continually trying to get rid of her.
Right.
So
he could go do...
And he did make mention now of the real estate thing. He's rolling with the cover.
Yeah, that they're partnering... Well, I think that's what they're going to do.
Right.
Wherever she got all the money from.
That's right. So Jacob and Sophie find the house. And Beth does some really, really awesome acting. Or Alice does.
Oh, we find out that Mouse had been in Arkham.
Yes.
And he broke out. He was part of that breakout.
Yes.
Which is the other way that they need villains.
Of course.
Yeah.
So there's this tender little moment. You think they're going to have this tender moment, father and daughter, where Jacob realizes, yes, this is my daughter. And he goes over to hug her. And she stabs him.
Right.
Right in the gut.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you noticed earlier, too, that during this episode, Kate started calling Beth Alice.
Yes.
And not Beth anymore.
Yes.
Which is interesting to see that change, because up until now she's called her Beth.
Right. Now she's given her you're Alice now.
Right.
So, meanwhile, Kate is hanging and pulls a nail from her boot.
Yep.
Because nails are the way to pick locks.
Yeah, that's part of the Batwoman mythos, is nails and boots.
So,
it looked like she had a lot of nails in her boots, though.
It did. So. Like an obscenely weird amount of nails in her boot. So Sophie fights the mimic kid in the creepy shed is what I have next.
Or Sophie fights Mouse. You can just go with that.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote mimic kid because I was just jotting it down really fast.
And that was actually a decent fight scene.
Right. Then there's a standoff.
Right.
And then they, what you call it?
And then, Kate steps in.
Right.
And shows up and does the thing on Sophie's mouth again where she puts her finger over it.
Again.
Just like she did in the first episode as Batwoman.
Right.
So now you see Sophie going, oh, you're Batwoman. Okay.
Right. That's another person that knows.
Right. It's an Arrowverse thing.
And you then they make a... Alice makes a deal, makes them make a deal. You let him go, we'll let you live, basically.
Right.
Everybody's got guns on everybody.
Right.
And Kate rushes over to her father. Alice and Mouse slip away.
Right.
And then there's this tender little scene with Alice and Mouse sitting in a candlelit room where she calls him her brother. He gives her, as a child, he gives her the Alice in Wonderland book.
Right. Which, obviously, we see that's where her dementia
right.
really came from. And
right. And then Alice calls her in the present, Alice calls Mouse her brother, and gives him the skin that she's been stealing because she made a face for him.
Right.
So that he can go out in public. And we'll probably see him being used.
Which I think, though, at the point that we're at in time now, like, it's not like he was disfigured, but he's not
right.
horribly disfigured, where
no.
I don't think you would see an issue with that, with somebody like that walking around. It would, you've seen it. Like, it's not, you know, like 30 years ago when people would say something about that. Now
exactly.
You know.
People are more tolerant of stuff like that today.
Yeah. And I
except Gotham.
Right. Well, and I think the biggest thing for me with this episode continues to be that, you know, we heard about Ruby Rose being this fantastic choice for this. I've always liked her, but I've never thought she was a phenomenal actress.
No.
I continue to not think that she's a phenomenal actress just because it feels like they're giving everybody else things to do in all of these episodes and chances to really act and emote and things like that. Whereas Ruby Rose, just I show up, I say like 3 or 4 words that are very dry and flat, and then everybody else does stuff around me. And that seems to be a recurring theme, which I think is why it's making it so hard for me.
Are they trying to make her too Bruce Wayne-y?
No, I think they're missed so far, and I don't know if it's... I would hope it's going to get better as it goes. So I think the miss with this particular character on this show and why it's not as good as the other Arrowverse shows have been is it's not focusing on her.
Right.
All the focus is on all of the supporting cast.
Right.
There's been zero development for Kate so far, and zero episodes about Kate. Like, in Arrowverse, you had Oliver. The show got weak when they started focusing on the Arrow squad.
Right.
And not Oliver.
Right.
Flash, same thing. First episode was very Barry-focused.
Right, which was great.
And then it got a little weaker as it started folding out into all these other people, and same thing with Supergirl. When it was about Kara, it was good. Now she's in, like, 3 scenes, it feels like, in the entire show, and for, like, a couple seconds here and there, and the show's weak.
And she's not even really Supergirl, as we're going to talk about.
Right, because you tune into all these shows to see the title character.
Correct.
And as you get less and less of the title character, it makes the show less interesting for somebody that's a comic book fan, because the comic books were always about the title character in the comic book, because that's why you read it.
Right. I would give that episode, like, a 4.5, 5. I mean, it's better than it than
the episodes
they've
had so far. I'd go with like a 7 from where they've been.
Right.
Any thoughts for what might happen next week on it? I think you gave one earlier. You said you think Sophie's gonna.
I think Sophie's gonna figure it out. That's what the preview has been. I don't know where they're going with the show though. I mean, I guess they're gonna set Mouse up as one of the villains.
As a co-big bad?
I guess.
I don't see Alice as a big bad, really. So far, it just seems like she's somebody's Kate's trying to save.
Yeah.
So it's you get this malicious intent from her, but not an overwhelming where I'm like, oh, she's going to take out the whole city. Like, you know, which is what you usually get on these other shows. So we'll see where it ends up going as far as that goes. I don't have any real ones other than Sophie's going to figure it out next week. But I don't think they've laid out a real solid formula yet to kind of know where the show's going or really a direction that I could see long-term for the show and how it's going to work.
I can't at all. I can't figure it out. I can't see how I'm going to keep interest after Elseworlds or after Crisis.
Yeah.
Unless something like major happens to...
We'll see. I think now that they're done the original setup, I think we'll start getting the story moving along, I'm hoping.
I sure hope so.
I have faith in Berlanti and Guggenheim.
Yeah. I do.
They do have their lulls. if anybody's watching Titans right now, Titans has been awesome so far this season.
Is he involved in that too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're going to be in crisis for like a hot second.
Yeah.
So, but it
slows
down. Like it peaked about halfway through the season. So episode 6 or 7, they hit a peak of all this stuff had happened, and then it slowed back down. And it's resetting. It's kind of a little more of a drudgery to watch right now. But you can tell it's starting to pick back up. But that's kind of their pattern they've been going.
Before we zip over to Supergirl, there was a couple of quick little tidbits. I'll give the Arrow news at the Arrow portion, but they did release the logo for Crisis, which is basically the same. It's just a little bit colored differently. Stephen Amell tweeted out like the first 3 seconds of the episode, which is basically just the logo forming on the screen.
Fancy.
Yeah. We had talked about this for a couple seconds before we started recording, that Tom Welling is apparently only in like one scene.
It's going to just be like the Superman, and they're going to show for a minute, and then they're going to...
I hope we at least get him in the costume. If you're going to show them all together, don't show him standing there in his flannel shirt flanked by two Supermen.
Right.
That's a horrible payoff.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. Who knows?
But he also said that there's still surprises in store, that they're actually still working on surprises, that they're not done by any means putting the show together. And they have a month, so...
Yeah, they have plenty of time.
Right.
They actually have 2 months because they still have Arrow and Legends.
That's right.
And Arrow's just filming now, and Legends just starts this week.
Right. So now we move over to the other Sunday night show.
Yay!
Supergirl. And the episode names Dangerous Liaison. I'll just go through my notes things, and if you feel like chiming in on it, and if I'm wrong at some point, I was writing fast.
Yeah, this one's the freshest in my mind, so.
Okay, so the opening episode starts off with all of them in the Oasis.
Right, in this Obsidian ad.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, it's not Ready Player One, it's Supergirl, my bad. They're literally stealing Ready Player One with their Oasis, or Obsidian, or whatever the hell it is. So it opens with a commercial.
Right.
Then we have Kara talking to Nia and lying to her about everything she's doing regarding William and
Andrea
and all of that.
Right.
Lies.
That's the strong point of all these shows.
It's the underlying theme of every one of these shows is lying.
Right. And how it either works out or doesn't.
Yes. So Kara breaks into Andrea's office. Right?
That's way later in the show.
Is it? So wait, why do I have William and Kara being sneaky? What were they being sneaky about early on?
Well, that's a little bit in. Yeah, so that's there. So William and Kara talk about being sneaky, which is where
Kara
brings him in.
Gotcha.
And tells him that she has all these resources she can get him to.
Yes, that's right. She's going
to bring him to the DEO.
She's going to introduce William to her DEO sister, and she has a whole, like, you have to sign
because
a
non-disclosure.
Because
the DEO is not apparently a huge secret.
No.
I don't care if you're signing an NDA or not. It's still not something you go and talk to some random guy from England about.
Right. But, at this point, they do know that he's a secret agent, right?
He's not. He's just a reporter.
Oh,
is
he's
what he told
just
them.
A reporter.
Yeah.
They don't know any of his other...
No, I mean, he is just
else?
A reporter.
That is, okay. I didn't see the episode before this.
Yeah, there was an inkling that he was a secret agent, but it was really, he's just an undercover reporter.
Okay.
I had to watch the flashbacks again to get that part.
Gotcha.
The recap.
Gotcha. So she talks about introducing him to her sister who happens to work for the DEO.
Right.
And then we zip over to Lena and Tess working with Malphic and the Q-Waves.
Right. And we get to see Malphic more.
Yes.
Played by Phil Lamar.
Yes. It's good casting.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the casting.
Well, I mean, he's a DC legend.
Is he?
He is one of the most prolific voice actors of the last 30 years.
No shit.
Who does a ton of voices on the animated movies for DC.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that makes it even... That's a plus
there
for the show.
Go.
Okay.
Just like the guy that played John's dad is the voice of Martian Manhunter.
Right.
In the
that
animated. Phil Lamar does John Stewart's voices, does a ton of the voices for the different African-American characters throughout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. So there's a green explosion in the room.
Well, it took over that's Hope.
A... Yes.
And then that caused the explosion. Hope got thrown against the wall.
Right. Because she was in the cell and Lena was outside the cell like a smart supervillain.
Right. So when he tried to use his Inception powers, the explosion happened because she had him locked down to not be able to use them.
Right. So then we zip on over to the DEO where William has met Alex.
Right. Because it's just an open door policy at the DEO.
And they just let him into the interrogation where they're interrogating the...
Tattoo.
Chick. Chick. Yeah. Right.
And that's when he jumps in and tries to attack her over the table and
correct.
All these things that are absolutely ridiculous in there. And then you find out that his friend was killed by one of these assassins.
Right.
Rip Roar.
Rip Roar. Who we then it's see.
An awful name.
Yeah.
Is really Doc Ock from Spider-Man.
I actually put the Doc Ock knockoff steals a case from the military.
Yeah. It's a really weird tech set and.
Yeah.
Identity and yeah.
So. Right after he reveals all that information is then when this, we switch over to fake Doc Ock.
Well, because, yeah, and he broke into Lex's vault because they keep leaving that stuff around easy to get.
Yep.
And if it's only all... there was a fortress somewhere of where people were had solitude that you could put these weapons of Lex's that nobody knew where it was.
Where nobody would see far, far away.
Yeah. If, you know, if in only a... there was something like that that we'd seen on this show before.
Thankfully. Oh, wait. Yeah. So then we have a little Kara and John heart to heart.
Yeah.
Little, you know, heart to heart. That's literally all I put was Kara and John heart to heart. Then we get the next item stolen from the last vault.
Yeah, Kara and John had the heart to heart. She asked him to look into his buddy.
Right.
Yeah.
And, that's right, to look into, I forgot the guy's name.
Russell's disappearance.
Russell, yes. Then we get the marathon laser that is stolen from the Lex Luthor vault.
Right.
Because, again, why not just steal Lex's stuff from the vault?
Yeah, yeah.
No reason to put that away anywhere.
Right. Like I said, there's no fortress anywhere in the world that you could put that.
And then I have, they're going to use the tattoo bugs to find the gun. Nothing possibly could go wrong here.
So right, and of course, Brainy, who...
They're going to infect Brainy with the bugs.
I have to say that throughout the episode, and I remarked this at the end of the episode, but I enjoy his overacting so much.
It is so fresh. It's refreshing.
Because he's just having fun. He just goes for it every time.
Yep.
All in over the top, where everybody else is so subdued on this show. And he's just, there's a line later that was fantastic.
Lena and Malphic are talking. Lena wants to study his brain. Malphic wants to kill John, but there's a block in place that will not allow him to harm his brother.
Right.
If Lena removes the block...
He will help her.
He will help her...
Scan his brain to learn how to do the Inception thing.
Right.
Because Q-waves are like sonar.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
So, Lena agrees to remove the block...
Yep.
...so she can study the brain. And I put here, because as I was watching the episode, I put supervillain activate. Because that's exactly what it looks like.
Right.
And that's what you're led to believe at this point in time is that she's going all in supervillain.
Right.
Okay. So now Brainy's the guinea pig, and I put here great acting. And I'm sure your line is what comes the code word to turn him on and off from
it's
the
not
bunk?
In this one. It's not that, but that's good too.
Okay.
What was that?
So the line to turn him on and off is pop quiz hotshot from
Speed.
The Keanu Reeves line.
Right.
And that turns him on and off from... The Dennis Hopper line. It turns his... So he sectioned his brain off so that the bugs only infect, like, part of his brain.
Right.
It's like he firewalled his brain.
He's got a 12th level intellect, so you can do that stuff.
So his acting in this is where he was, like, over the top. It was great. And they got so fed up with... And annoyed with them that as they were leaving, she just threw the line over her shoulder as she's walking out of the cell. And he was just kind of sitting there like, did it work? What happened? Like, that was awesome. I really did. That was the best part of the entire episode. Cut there and I'm good. Then the Leviathan lady shows up because she's the one that wants the laser stolen.
Right. Which they foreshadowed in their last episode about Leviathan.
Right. Lena wants to map the frequencies from Malphic's brain. And brings in three alien creatures.
Right.
For him to do the mind control-y thing on.
Right.
Okay. And there's like
a Daxamite one,
a middle level one,
a Terran one, and a Maladoran.
Right, that's the Maladorian. That's the really hardcore bad guy one.
Yeah, it's the
they're crazy like little lizards.
It's more wild than anything on Earth, I think she's, or meaner than anything on Earth, or something like that.
Yeah. Right.
But right around then too, we also have Kelly wandering around the DEO because.
Well, yeah.
Anybody that wants to find this super secret.
Well.
Headquarters. Yeah,
all you gotta do is watch where. Supergirl flies in and out.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Right in the office building in the middle of the city.
Yeah, at least Star Labs. Like, obviously everybody knows where Star Labs is because it's a big building that says Star Labs on it.
Right. But it's not in the middle of the city.
But, like, this secret government agency that's not even a public government agency that everybody knows how to get there is crazy.
It was way better when it was further away.
It was way better when it was secret, like, 2 years ago.
What when
And then Kelly's going to bring the lenses to dinner so they can both wear lenses while they hang out with each other.
Right, because that's they're totally going all in on the it legitimately is a Ready Player One ripoff.
Yeah.
It, like 100%.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you go to dinner to put in lenses to watch something else?
Exactly. Well, now we get to where Kara breaks into Andrea's office. And William shows up.
Of course.
While William is trying to hack the computer, Kara does her X-ray vision thingy and finds the secret wall with the secret panel and pulls out the...
While he's shocked that there's encryption in a firewall on Andrea's computer.
Right, and that just passwords won't work randomly.
Yeah, he's just surprised that it's so hard to hack into this billionaire's computer.
So Kara finds a box, and in the box there's pictures.
Right, there's money, foreign money.
Foreign money.
Which is suspect, though she's a foreign...
Yes.
Person who has money probably from somewhere else.
And she's a business owner that flies all over the world.
Not super shady.
No.
Okay.
But the picture is of Andrea and Russell.
Right.
In front of a phone booth.
Right, and then we get the flashback of the relationship from William's perspective.
Right.
Of Andrea and Russell.
Right. And then I have Kara and William have a heart-to-heart.
Right. And... then you find out that Russell might not be dead.
Right.
Which, I already figured that out, but thanks.
Yes, I pretty much did.
Especially because you didn't even shave the dude.
No.
You left the same beard on.
Yep.
In current day that you did back in the day.
Yep.
And I guess somehow through all this, I realized during this scene that William still has not figured out she's Supergirl.
No, she hasn't.
He hasn't. Which means he's a horrible reporter.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But... Rip Roar and Supergirl have a fight.
Yeah.
She finds where he's at. They have a fight, and he shoots her with the marathon laser and
knocks her out. No, it's a different thing. It was a...
Was it a different thing?
It is. I wrote down what it was somewhere, and I erased what it was. But it was not the marathon laser. It was something else. A fusion cannon.
Fusion cannon.
From the future.
From the future.
That then they're going to... That's what Brainy said. In 100 years, it'll be called a fusion cannon, and that's going to get merged with the marathon laser.
And then, yes.
And this is where his overacting for me was fantastic, when Brainy said, if I was a supervillain, which I'm not.
That was...
This is what I would do.
So awesome. That was so awesome. This I have, John rescued Kara off camera.
Right, and this is where I wrote before this that Rip Roar was Russell, by the way, when they got into the fight. As soon as I saw him, I said, that's...
Right.
That's how that's going.
Yeah, Supergirl was hit with a fusion laser. Russ is still alive, ? And then we go back to Lena, who has successfully mapped the Q waves from Malefic.
Right.
And then we go back to the DEO, and they think that Rip Roar, I don't even want to say that name, it's really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
Will use the fusion laser, to melt the ice cap at Lake Volstok in Russia.
Right.
Which will then release a tidal wave that will impact the entire western coast of the United States.
Cause a glacier geyser.
Glacier geyser. Remember that, everyone. Glacier geyser.
And we flash back to the office. Andrea and William are there. William flips out on Andrea, and then we realize it's just in his VR headspace.
Right. Rip Roar.
Yeah.
Rips into the water. Oof.
Yeah.
I wrote that.
That's good.
Rip Roar rips into the ice with the fusion laser from the future that he built in the present. The Pacific Coast now has 1 hour.
No, 12 minutes.
12 minutes?
Every second, it's 3.2 cubic miles.
Okay.
Which they don't seem to be in a rush.
No. Well, because, you know, they're fast. So.
And he said in 12 minutes, everything will be taken out.
So Supergirl and John, who doesn't even pretend to change into the Martian anymore, show up and capture Rip Roar.
Well, they had to spend all the special effects money on those Doc Ock arms. They couldn't afford the Martian for him or Phil Lamar.
So then I have Kelly is at dinner alone and goes into the Matrix.
That, and not even just that. So now we see this, right, Pacific Coast, these tidal waves coming in, right? And we get all these people that decided to watch the launch of this program in the middle of the street, like walking down the street and just said, I'm going to stop right here.
Yes.
Or whatever they're doing, they just decided to stop all of a sudden, which is crazy.
Yes.
And Dreamer has crazy force field powers.
Dude, I didn't even get to that yet. But that, so I have
to stop the tidal wave.
William confronts Andrea about everything, but he was also in the Matrix.
Right.
John and Kara figure out that for them to stop the ice geyser,
glacier geyser,
they have to fly around the base of
it. To Barry Allen it.
In sync.
Yeah.
They have to be perfectly in sync when they do this.
Worst and
they
piece were, of acting I've ever seen David Harrow
very,
do.
They were very, very, very specific about the in sync part.
Yeah.
And
it's a shame Danny's not here to talk about in sync.
Oh, hi, Danny. at the moment, Danny, you're playing Call of Duty, as I can see on my Xbox. Anyway, so Dreamer has another new power, and that's her force field. That doesn't just stop the tidal wave.
I think they've shown that before. I think part of the costume, but I don't
she doesn't
remember
just
why
stop
they introduced
it.
That.
She evaporates it.
Yeah.
Kind of like Superman would do with his heat vision.
Yeah, well, so in the Legion of Superheroes mythology, right, Brainy has a force field. That's his big thing.
Okay.
So he has a force field projector.
Okay.
I think they work that into Dreamer's.
Okay, makes sense. So Alex is at the waterfront,
yeah,
trying to save people.
Yeah.
Kelly happens to be in the restaurant above the waterfront.
Yeah.
And she comes out of the Matrix,
mm-hmm,
and watches Alex selflessly throwing herself in front of people and helping them and doing her, you know.
Right.
The EOS.
And using the another force field.
Yes.
So they introduced the force field was like 2 seasons ago. They really played with it. Or last year sometime.
Okay. Yeah, and I have, yay, Dreamer evaporated the tidal wave while Supergirl used cold breath on the geyser. So after they fly around the geyser for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, to get the flow to reverse.
Then she ices it with her ice breath. Cool.
Right.
Rip Roar, back at the DEO, has the wonderful Truth Seeker on and will not answer any questions.
Because the armor's biologically tied to him.
Right.
And he has no control because it looks like Leviathan's the one that probably set him up, not Andrea. We'll find that out.
So then I have, and I guess I'm a little funny on what happened here. Brainy found something. Kelly is upset at the TV, crying in the bathroom. Nia finds her. They talk.
Right. So Kelly's traumatized because her previous fiance died on the front lines.
She had PTSD.
And now she realizes that Alex puts her in the same thing. And they're just going to keep wrecking Alex's relationships every time because that's what they do to that character, which is, I don't know why.
Right.
That's their take with that, but it's tiresome.
Until the end of the episode where Kelly and Alex make up and have a nice, quiet,
But it looks like Kelly went there to break up with her, is how the acting comes across, where that was the plan. And it looks like that's still going to happen because the hug she gave Alex was half-hearted.
Right.
The
last line of notes that I have says, Kara talks to William, Rip Roar is Russell, Andrea and the Leviathan old lady are talking.
Right. Only other piece that happened in there is we cut back to Lena and Malekith, and he thinks he has his plan together to get rid of John now that she removed the metal blocks, and you find out Lena did not remove the blocks from
him. No, she didn't. So
she would never do that because she doesn't want him to hurt anybody.
And that, for that brief moment, you're like, well, she's not going to be a supervillain then.
Right.
And then her eyes light up green.
Right, because, well, to stop him from attacking.
Right. So right. she now has...
The Inception power, which was the whole point of using the stuff, right?
Right. So. This episode, I would give a 2. Like, Brainy brings it to a 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It was not good.
And no,
there, and there was, and I mean, I get it. You can't have every episode have a crisis tie-in. There was nothing even related to it.
No, and I think the problem is it's not interesting.
No,
like it's just not. The villains aren't interesting.
Nope.
The bad scene isn't interesting. It all feels like stuff that we've seen before, and that could be because we're 4 to 6 shows in on the CW at this point.
Right.
And, you know, the CW has their formula no matter what. And I personally never watched anything on UPN or the WB or the CW except for, like, 3 seasons of Supernatural back in the day. So I know that it gets formulaic.
Yes. Well,
but now we're 6 shows into the same formula.
Smallville, for the first handful of seasons, was very villain of the week formulaic.
Right.
And then they started to do... Like, they would sprinkle in a plot that would last the whole season, and then they started doing that a little bit more and a little bit more, and it wasn't so much Villain of the Week as it became
right.
a better show.
And I'm fine with the Villain of the Week format, right. and like, then some stuff happens as you go, but at least make them interesting.
Right.
Like, this was so, like, you knew it was Russell, so there was no big shock at the end of the episode, which is wow. Seemed like they were like, nobody's going to get this. Yeah, everybody knew.
Right. It's a shame. But, and they did say, they've said this at least 4 or 5 different times that I've seen now, that just because there's a Superman show coming does not mean that Supergirl is ending.
Right.
I think the smart thing would be to fold it into The Flash. And if you're going to do 24 episodes, do 24 episodes.
Yeah, if they're like bringing more shows, I mean, the CW, I don't think, can honestly support 7 superhero shows.
They're gonna
though,
grind
from,
it into the
From
dust.
What I understand, Black Lightning's not going to probably make it through the season. So.
No. And is, but
not it, like it killed off, just the show's is, even worse than these two.
Jesus. That's bad.
Season 1 was great, and every other report I've heard, season 1 was fantastic. Season 2 was rough. Season 3 is worse than season 2.
Yeah,
But that's it for Supergirl.
That was it for Supergirl. Now we get to we go to The Flash, and the name of the episode, Jack, you loved it so much.
Just Kiss Kiss Breach Breach.
I really enjoyed the name of the episode.
Yeah.
So we'll jump right in with The Flash. The Flash starts off with Cisco sitting at his desk, kind of hunched over in black and white, and all these people come in with guns to arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the 12-hour earliers. Thing.
Right.
So that was the present. Now we're going to go back in time and show you what happened. So Barry and a freshly permed Iris.
Well, no, that's just her natural hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she didn't straighten it for us. They actually made a big deal about that.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
Where she's going to finally start letting her hair have its natural
kink and curl. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. It was completely different.
Yeah.
So they're going to go on vacation.
Yep.
So let's get rid of them for an episode.
Right, because, again, like we said earlier, like... Shows the Flash, but let's...
I don't hate a Cisco-centered episode because he's usually strong enough character. So, what Cisco has done, because see, Barry's doing this because he wants Cisco to lead the team when he's gone.
Right.
So, he's going to give him this shot, and they're going to take a vacation since he only has a little bit of time left on this Earth.
Yeah, which why wouldn't you do?
Right. So what Cisco does is Cisco creates an AI called Barry. Did you get the name, like what the initials did for it?
I forget
what
they
too.
Did, but yeah. It was,
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It was basically an artificial intelligence that Cisco would input a problem and the AI would tell Cisco what Barry Allen would do.
Right. Which Barry's made a lot of questionable choices, so I don't know why you would pick what Barry would do.
I mean, it was cute with the testing.
I mean, everything's going to be run.
Run.
What's the answer? It's run faster.
Go back in time. Run faster.
Right. Go into the Speed Force. That's...
But the testing of it was kind of cute. When he was asking it a couple of questions, what's your favorite movie? And the AI said Jurassic Park. And Barry's like, no, it's Empire Strikes Back. And he's like, but no, wait, it really is Jurassic Park.
Right.
Yeah, that was cute.
And the A-Team references.
Yes. A lot of A-Team. Oh, I have that. Cisco's middle name is... Baracus,
right?
Because his mom loved the A-Team. So, B.A. Baracus.
And Ralph would definitely be Murdoch.
Yes. Ralph, yeah.
He could actually play Murdoch. He looks similar to the guy.
He really does.
He'd do well at that.
So, Barry and Iris go on vacation, and we zip over to the sewer, where Nash is trying to knock a wall down, and Joe follows him in.
Right.
And they scuffle, and Nash causes an explosion.
Yep.
To trap two people together with a little bit of oxygen.
Yeah. Never seen that. Yeah. Super exciting.
Yeah. So Joe and Nash are trapped in the sewer in front of the hallway where the monitor or anti-monitor has been hiding.
Right.
Cool. Okay. So now we go back to Sisko and his girlfriend sleeping together.
Right. And Sisko's been sleepwalking.
Right. So he wakes up almost cutting his hair.
Yeah. Not as risque as when we cut to them sleeping together. They're actually sleeping.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This was actual sleeping. There was no sex.
And then, yeah, all that. And he slips with an, oh, I love you.
Yeah, I have that. And what I remember from this that I didn't write down, but I remember was he hands her the scissors and he says, hide these. And right. She just puts them on the table next right. to her. Literally, yeah. Right there.
It's like, I'll hide them in plain sight where we can both reach them easily.
Literally beside her.
Yeah.
That's my new thing now, is the literally.
And then while they're loading there, oh, look, a portal.
Yeah, a portal with scissors. He opens the portal with, yeah. like, a knife or scissors.
I thought it was a zipper.
I thought it was, like, a knife.
Maybe it was.
But it's Breacher.
Yay! I
wrote, Breacher shows up, Cynthia's dead, that sucks. That's how I wrote it.
Killed by Echo.
Killed by Echo. Cynthia, the actress that plays Cynthia, I think is on another TV show.
She is. She's on, I think, the one with Misty Knight from Luke Cage. Simone Messick.
Okay. Okay. So... Cynthia was killed by a hacker named Echo. Breacher wants Vibe to help, but... what's her name? Camilla? No. Is it Camilla?
Yeah.
Camilla
sure. Sounds good.
Is the one that tells Breacher that Sisko is no longer Vibe.
Right.
But I'll help you anyway.
Right. But that my question with that already was like, so his powers are probably just suppressed. They're not gone. He'll have them back
and he
soon.
Said and he said that. Right. Breacher said that your what is it, the psychosis thing?
Right, is because you're trying to suppress your powers.
Right, and so Sisko's like, but I didn't suppress them, I got rid of them.
Right.
So I thought the same thing. I thought, okay, yeah. Well, that's how it's going to happen, is they're just going to come back because this cure doesn't work and you really can't get rid of these powers.
Right, and then out of nowhere we have Sisko, who's been pretty fully functioning for 5 seasons so far, now has to ask Barry for everything that
right.
he does.
The right.
computer.
Right.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense.
No.
But.
So then we flash back to Nash and Joe
yep.
in the sewer, and there's no cell service, and Nash is kind of freaking out.
Yeah, well, he's working to get him out.
Right.
He's working on the rocks.
And Joe's just sitting there,
yeah,
calm as can be, basically telling him, my people will know that I disappeared, and someone will come and find
right.
me.
Right. I'm the captain of the police, even though I act like I'm alone.
Yep.
Wolf, you know.
Yep. But he's assured that someone will show right. up. It was at this point that in my head, I thought that Barry would come and save him. That's what I thought at that
okay.
point in time. Because that's usually what happens.
Right.
Then we go to Nash shooting a laser at the rocks to try and...
Right. And then it...
It explodes. It hits like a gas line or something.
And burns off more oxygen.
Yep.
And,
so... Yeah. In the episode Time Code, while I was watching it, there was 43 minutes on the episode left. They had 42 minutes of air left.
Look, just the Flash is good with that.
Just wanted to make sure that that
like
was
like, conveniently, the crisis has been happening all season on the date of this winter finale.
Yep. Yep. I put, in my note, I put 42 minutes to breathe in a 45-minute show, gasp.
Right.
Because without commercials, it's about 45 minutes. So, Frost, then we zip over to Frost, who's with the one-eyed DJ guy.
Frost and, yeah, and the snake guy are going after the bad guy.
Yes. And then Dibny shows up.
Right. And Frost, they still can't decide on the eyes or the look
nope.
or how this works.
Nope.
Because Frost shouldn't ever have normal eyes.
Nope.
Then,
and she
then
does.
She's Caitlin.
Yep.
But they keep doing that. Which, congrats to Danielle Panabaker, by the way. Just now she's having a kid.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
due
nice.
In May, I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Frost is feeling guilty about Ramsay. Dibny gives her a Dibny speech.
Right.
To help her out. I'm cool with that. I dig Rock.
No, I like Dibny's.
Yeah. So now Cisco, along with his new sidekick Camilla, zip over to the crime scene, and Earth 19's CSI team is there. And then I have Techno Talk.
Yeah, and there was the crime scene was demolecularized.
Right.
And a bunch of stuff. And of course Camilla goes with Breacher and Cisco because she's an expert in crime scenes.
She is. She's a photographer, right?
Yeah, just a photographer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Just did an art show.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. The one that.
But why wouldn't you take her?
Right. So Cisco has an idea and his girlfriend's gonna help.
Right.
And then we zip back into the sewer. Yep. Where Joe and Nash are there, and Joe has a story.
Yeah, and they're having a heart-to-heart.
Because Joe always has a story.
My prediction based on that story is that Joe's going to be the one that dies in Crisis, not Barry.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that would suck. I like him.
Based on the way the conversation, and then going forward, you now get Barry dealing with losing his surrogate father, and Iris losing her actual father, and what the ramifications of that are for the show going forward.
I like that. I mean, I don't like it because
just based
I don't
on how they
Joe
keep
go.
Using Joe in these episodes,
right?
It feels like Joe's having a heart to heart with every character.
The way
setting him up,
right? Well, he did have back in. He did have a big back injury, and
yeah, but that
missed,
was last year, and right. He came back.
Where am I at here?
And this is about the point when they kill off the Elder Statesman, and because Paul Blackthorne got killed off in season 6 of Arrow.
Oh, really?
So this is about when they get rid of the old guy.
Ah, that's a shame. I like Paul Blackthorne.
He was great.
He was great. I wonder if there's any news on him in the Arrow recap. No?
No.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Oh. We'll talk about it in Arrow. So we go back to Star Labs where Cisco and Breacher are cooking up a way, or Cisco's cooking up a way to kind of jumpstart his vibe powers with a vibe machine.
Right. And get a vibe off the gun casing.
Yes. So there's no Q-waves involved in any of this episode.
Thankfully.
Yes.
Wrong Earth. That's why.
Ah, that's it. That's right. That's right. So he rigs up this machine where he'll be able to vibe the casing, and he gets to watch Cynthia's death.
Right.
And they do a really good job of not showing her face.
They did.
They did a really, really good job. Yeah. Her long hair, and I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
That you could still use her, and the body build looked the same for the brief
good job
that you saw. Yeah. So Breacher gets to watch all of this go on. Meanwhile, is Camilla watching too?
No.
Okay. But Camilla finds the gun.
Yeah. Well, I think she hears what's going on.
So she goes there. Something starts beeping on the computer.
Right.
And she goes.
She sees that the gun's in the building.
In the toolbox.
Right.
She goes to Cisco's toolbox and finds the gun. And here's where I'll give them props. She picked the gun up with a towel.
Right.
She didn't handle it. Like, I mean, not thinking you went over, you're going to grab the gun with your hand. So now there's no, you know what I mean?
Right.
I thought that was pretty well thought out in the fact that they did it that way. Let's see. Where are we at? Cisco is Echo.
Right.
So you finally get to see Echo's face.
And they try and tell you that's because of the psychosis and make you feel like that's Cisco and that's what he thinks.
Right. That we believe, or you're led to believe, that this Cisco, our Cisco is the bad Cisco.
Right.
And Breacher gives him 24 hours to put his affairs in order.
And you would think that somebody like Breacher and these Bureau from Earth 19 would have mentioned, hey, you know there's an antimatter wave wiping out Earths.
Right. No,
but
we don't bring
didn't.
That up yet.
No. Why would we?
Apparently, the Breachers, though, can put a force field around an Earth to keep Breachers from breaching.
Right.
It's a lot of breaching.
Yeah.
So, I also kind of don't like... It seems like they dumbed down Breacher a little bit. Like, if he's been doing this for so long...
Well, he retired, though.
Right, but he still has the knowledge of these things, and they kind of just make him... They kind of almost dumb them down a little bit. Too much.
I agree. I'm not a huge fan of how they played his character in this one.
No. So, Breacher thinks it's Cisco. He thinks it has to do with the psychosis and a sleepwalking. And
right.
He has all the symptoms. And...
Then we cut back over.
Then we cut back...
To Joe and
to
Nash.
To the sewer. the rocks jumble. And who is it that saves Joe and Nash?
It's Ralph.
It's Ralph. Because Ralph did some detective work.
Right.
Ralph went looking for Joe, found Joe's car, looked in the car, saw some notes.
Right. Which I wish this show hadn't introduced Ralph the way that they had, as like this bumbling
right.
detective, because now they're trying to make him the way that he should be.
Right.
This is one of the greatest detectives, and it's like, oh, well, it's hard to buy this guy as having been a really good detective all this time.
Right. When he was an alcoholic loser, basically.
They got drummed out of the force and couldn't hold a detective. Yeah, it's
and now all of a sudden, he's cracking everything.
Yeah, I wish they hadn't started him the way they did.
But
I'm glad they're fixing it.
So am I. I do. He's one of the characters I really, really enjoy over the whole episode,
right.
over
and
all
then,
the shows.
Then we get Caitlin back, maybe?
It is Caitlin herself.
We think.
Not Frost, it's actually Caitlin.
Yeah, maybe.
And Ramsey.
Yeah.
And they have a back and forth little chatter and, you know, my mom loved you and blah, blah, blah. And she tries to appeal to his better side and...
Well, and she worked for Ramsey's mom. I don't know if we knew that before, did we?
Yes.
I guess we did, that she worked for him.
They did mention that. They kind of jumbled
that. And
then
she started her career out working for Ramsey's mom.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they go back and forth, and she tries to appeal to him, and it doesn't work. And he basically grabs her and tells her, next time I see you, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
No Frost at all at this point.
Because why would Frost come out right then?
No. No point.
And protect her.
No point. Camilla and Cisco then have a heart-to-heart.
Right.
And hold on.
Cisco surrenders.
Pages. Yes. So Camilla is the one that actually figures all this out.
Right.
Through their heart-to-heart talk of what happens. So Cisco surrenders. And then we flash to the present of the show where Cisco is sitting there and they all come in to get him. And Cisco looks at Breacher and says all the information's in the hollow cube,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they go to grab him. Cisco's a hologram.
Right.
Then the force field goes up in the office. Nobody can get out.
Right.
But what they had done before that was they dropped the breaching force field around the Earth so that Cisco could breach to the warehouse.
Right.
Because he knew that Echo was still at the warehouse trying to get off the Earth.
Right.
Okay. So here do I have it. Cisco surrenders, Cisco hologram, force field traps everybody in the lab. Cisco breaches the crime scene. Cisco finds Echo. Evil Cisco is awesome.
Yeah, and tells him everything he did. He hacked the white noise machine, and that's how he made Cisco think he was sleepwalking and having psychosis. So maybe Cisco doesn't have his powers.
It's possible. I still think that they left a trail of breadcrumbs for him to get them back.
Right.
So evil Cisco is awesome, but the Cisco fight was kind of, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, it was really late when I watched that part, so I might have faded.
It wasn't the best, and then Cisco catches the bad guy.
Yay.
Yes. Breacher says bye to Breacher. That's weird.
That's cool.
And then there's an awkward goodbye after Cisco says that he loves Camilla.
Right.
What's not to love? And then there's awkwardness. And even Breacher's like, awkward.
Right.
And then leaves. That was kind of neat. That was kind of cool.
And and we get Frost as a doctor now.
Frost is a...
Because she's white hair, so it's Frost.
Okay, yes.
She's checking Joe's vitals and doing a full diagnosis of him.
As Frost.
Yeah.
Not
no,
as Caitlin.
No, they got to figure that out. It's driving me nuts.
Then Barry comes home.
Yep.
Everybody learns lessons.
Yep.
That's what I put is Barry's home, lessons learned.
And Nash is going to save Barry.
Nash knows how to save Barry. The episode had good moments.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was okay. It was, yeah, like you said, the Joe thing is, I get that. I totally didn't see that. That they were set. They might.
Yeah,
be.
I feel like that's the way we're going to go. And Joe's going to make a deal to sacrifice himself for Barry.
That would be in line with something that Joe does.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm sorry. I enjoyed it. I would give that maybe a 6.
Yeah, it wasn't one of their stronger episodes. No. But that goes back to, again, like I feel like all of these shows, the strongest episodes are when your lead character is
right.
Your lead.
Right. So you're basically... So it seemed... So in Batwoman, in Supergirl, for the most part... Well, not so much Supergirl, but in Batwoman and The Flash, they kind of took the superhero out of the show and relied on supporting characters for both of those episodes,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. I mean, Kate was in a lot of the episode in Batwoman, but she was also not Batwoman for more than like
five minutes. Just stands there. She doesn't act most of the time. She just stands there and lets people act around her.
That's why she got the job, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
So before we start with the Arrow episode, the news that I was talking about was that Paul Blackthorne has confirmed he will be in the finale. That he's coming back.
Okay.
So, I mean, again, it
I
makes
mean, that's fine. I don't see why they wouldn't bring everybody back.
I mean, if they're...
Because I think there's an episode after Crisis for Arrow, isn't there?
Yeah. There's one or two before he's done.
Yeah.
It's like one or two.
Because they're filming that right now. They filmed last time with him in the suit.
Yes. Yeah. His, we've said it before, but his social media game is really good.
Yeah. It's a little too good for me, because I don't need all that.
No, I don't want to see everything. And luckily for me, Twitter at work is blocked on our work computers, so anytime something comes up and I'm, like, browsing on the web, I'm too lazy always to pick up my phone and go to Twitter, so I don't look at a lot of it. But now, the final episode of our little recap, as always, is Arrow, and it's still my favorite. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode on many different levels. This episode is called Present Tense. So when we ended the last episode, the kids had come forward in time. Wait.
Back in time.
Right. The kids had come back in time. And so I don't have a ton of notes on this.
So they come back in time. They talk about who they are.
Right.
You have the reunion between Oliver and William.
So that...
And Mia, a little salty.
I thought that the scene between William and Oliver was so awesome. The acting was beautifully done.
Oh, yeah.
And it definitely carried the weight of that meeting. Like, he hasn't seen his father in 40 years, maybe? 30 years?
No.
Has it been that long?
No.
Well, wait. 2019 to 2040. 21. All right, 21 years. So my math sucks.
It's as old as Mia is.
Right.
That's how long it's been since he saw him, right?
But for Oliver, it's only been months or a year since he saw him
as a kid.
A year,
I think, is how they plan it.
Right.
Because we found out that Felicity was pregnant after... So really, Arrow should be in like 2020 right now.
Okay.
This should be a little bit ahead based on the time jump at the end of last season. So,
right.
Which doesn't line up with the rest of the shows now, so that's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that. But anyway. so you get William there, and you get that reconciliation. They go back to Oliver's apartment.
Yes.
And a bunch of awkward old memories.
I liked the William coming out scene.
It was great.
Because Oliver was just like, I know.
Yeah.
I've known.
They're really letting Stephen Amell act this season, which I'm looking forward to what he does after Arrow now, because I've finally gotten to see him act. And it might be, you know, this might just be their method with it, because him in the early seasons is very similar to how Ruby Rose is in Batwoman.
Yeah.
Where it was very stoic and not great acting, and the writing wasn't there for it. And maybe that'll have the same evolution. I pray to God that show doesn't last 8 seasons. But but maybe it'll go the same way, where as it progresses, they start to give her some
get
more
meat. Puppy.
And hopefully these shows realize, with what they're letting Stephen Amell do in these episodes, that you can let your lead act and actually lead.
So nobody wants to tell they don't want to tell Felicity anything,
right?
At this point, because at this point Felicity is alive, but in hiding at the cabin
with Mia,
with baby Mia.
And depending on your time travel rules,
that's weird.
That can make stuff blow up.
Yes, it could.
I don't know if it's Back to the Future rules or Endgame rules or Flashpoint rules.
It depends on which time rules you want to follow.
Post-Flashpoint rules.
But they don't want to tell Felicity because they don't want to risk ruining the timeline. Right.
Or Legends of Tomorrow rules.
Legends of Tomorrow don't have rules. They did. They had very rigid rules at first.
Yeah,
now they have no rules. Yeah. So...
So then the Deathstroke gang bombed a hospital.
Nobody from the future wants to tell anybody in the past what happens in the future.
Right.
Because they think it's going to screw up the timeline, which is typical time travel thinking.
Right.
Okay. Yes, the Deathstroke gang blows up a hospital.
In a crazy way. I mean, the dude in the wheelchair, and then just he has a bomb inside of him.
Yep. Kind of like...
So they push through, and you can see it through his ribcage, which was nuts.
It was exactly like... Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
With the Joker.
And then he goes in, and that's the same doctor that's been all the seasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's been there. She was the one that pronounced Laurel dead. She was the one that saved Felicity.
Did she die in this?
It blew up. I don't know.
Oh.
But I thought that was cool. She knows Oliver's arrow. That
okay.
doctor.
Okay.
So I thought that was cool. Little nod.
Curtis shows up in the bunker with a beard.
Yeah.
Very good to see him again. I like him. He's always very fast wordy.
Yeah, and it's such a departure from the comic books. And after he's been on this show, I finally started reading the comics.
Really?
With that version of Mr. Terrific in him.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't line up at all.
No.
But I really like the way that Curtis on this show is played.
So do I. I guess it's kind of like, I like when William sits down at the computer and the one comment he makes about, wow, Mom sure did play fast and loose with the Fourth Amendment.
Right, right.
And Curtis was just like,
Yeah.
So we find out. So they go to, so because the Deathstrokes are in the past, and so Connor
so they think it's the Deathstrokes came back from the future with them.
Right.
And before they go after him, we find out that Renee's thinking about running for mayor.
Yes. So it's kind of.
Because he wants to know what's going on with Zoe.
Right. And nobody's telling him anything. And Connor calls Diggle dad, and it freaks John out.
Right.
Because at this point in time, Connor's just this little kid and not adopted.
Right. So the kids went after the Deathstroke gang, though.
Right.
Without telling the adults.
Of course, because that always works. And then Green Arrow shows up to save the day.
Well, they get in trouble. They think that it's the crew back from the future, but when they go and they stop the boss, it's not JJ, it's Grant.
Right.
Wilson.
Right. Which is...
Deathstroke's son, Slade Wilson's kid, his oldest kid.
Right.
Which I think he only has one in this universe.
Yeah. So they go to the place where they know that the Deathstrokes were born.
Like right.
The Deathstroke gang was born. And
well, their future headquarters.
Their future headquarters. And Mia walks in and steps on a pressure plate.
Right.
Okay.
And the original crew, like you said, the adults show up and they save them.
Yes.
And they save all the kids.
Of course, they save all the kids.
And they get out and they stop the pressure plate and all that good stuff. And then
Was where I noticed that Diggle was in green.
Like, yeah.
I hadn't noticed before this. Now I noticed that everything is all green. And I'm like, okay, I get you.
And then they get him back and they tell everybody about the future.
Right. So the kids come clean about everything. And Mia and Oliver have this.
Yeah, I have like Diggle and Connor have it out. Renee's upset about Zoe and Mia and Oliver have it out.
Yes. There's some more good acting. Kate McNamara is not a bad actress either.
She was great on Shadowhunters.
I never watched it. I see her promoting it all the time on her Instagram.
Yeah, it just ended. Like,
okay.
While she's been on Arrow, the final season of that air, because they held on to the second half of the last season for
right.
like a year.
But you could really... I mean, it was very emotionally... It was a very up and down emotional episode.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff from the past, and I really like how they did it. Arrow so far, again, it's hitting on all cylinders for me.
Yeah, it was definitely a relationship driven episode, but it was relationship driven with the leads of the show.
Right.
And I feel like Diggle, they don't really give him a chance to act very often.
No.
And when they do, he's great.
Right. So Diggle is trying to get a hold of Lila, but she's unavailable at this point in time.
Right.
And Connor, so JJ and, or not JJ, I'm sorry. So Diggle and Connor kind of rectify?
No, not yet. They're still fighting.
No, okay. So
we get that. Those guys, everybody has it out with everybody.
Right. Everybody's mad at
and
everybody.
And Mia storms off.
Right.
And then Laurel shows up to help her, because if there's anybody that can know that Oliver can be a dick, it's Laurel.
That was great. She's like, I guess you're here to stop me. And she's like, no, I would never do anything Oliver Queen says. No offense.
Right. And then we get that, and they're off searching, right?
For
the Deathstroke gang. And then Dinah goes and has a talk with John.
Yes.
And they have a heart-to-heart, which turns him around on
right.
the fight with Connor when he said, you're not my son.
Right.
And all this, and my son wouldn't have let that happen to JJ.
And then she went and had a talk with Renee.
Right.
She did a lot of heavy emotional lifting
with
the characters.
Because Renee was with Zoe, and Renee doesn't know how to act around Zoe now.
Right.
And Renee's still thinking about running for mayor for some reason.
Well, because I don't know.
I mean, look, he was like a street punk 3 years ago, and now he's going
to
run.
He was going to go to jail. He was a federal witness against Oliver.
We've ignored all that.
Okay. So then we have everybody decides they're going to work together. Curtis gets all excited because they're all standing in a bunker. And he's like, are you going to say it now? Is it
time?
This
is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part. And then Oliver says, suit up.
Right.
That's... And he gets all excited, but he doesn't suit up.
Who?
Curtis.
No, he's going to be the other guy in the chair.
He's going to be the other guy in the chair, right. Yeah. So...
And they talk about Felicity a little bit, and then Curtis helps out, yeah.
Right.
And they have to go stop the relays for the bombs.
Right.
So they have to split up into teams.
Of course. And they go all across the city.
Right, and we're back to it's fine to kill everybody
yes.
on the show except for the big bad.
Yes.
And Mia, and they all fight, and Mia goes after Grant, and she's going to kill Grant.
But.
And Oliver stops her, because I know you just killed seven other guys.
But we're not going to kill
this guy. But not this guy.
No.
Because we know his name.
Right.
And if you know their name, you're not allowed to kill him. It's the Arrowverse rule.
Yes. So they capture Grant Ward.
That's so horrible.
It is. And they send Grant Ward.
To Blackgate.
Blackgate Prison in Gotham City. I keep saying Grant Ward. I have written Grant Ward down because Grant Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. When I hear Grant, I think Grant Ward. But Grant Wilson is the one in the DC universe that they send to Blackgate Prison in Gotham City.
Right.
Okay.
Is Blackgate in Gotham?
That's what they said. They said they were sending him to Gotham City. They were sending him to Blackgate Prison in Gotham.
Huh. I don't feel like it's in Gotham.
I don't think it's in Gotham. Well, wait.
Well, I mean, we've seen Black... That's where Barry was locked up.
No.
Yeah.
Was
Barry was in Blackgate.
Well, okay, so in...
Because that's the Meta Prison.
So in the Dark Knight Returns...
Well, yeah, but that's the movies.
Right, but that's where they're basing this Gotham City off of.
Yeah, but in this... Yeah, I don't think it's in Gotham.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's where he said, but...
Only because I feel like Flash was in Blackgate. When he broke out with all the Thinkers people.
I want to say you're right with that.
Maybe not, though. It's they move Blackgate in every universe, and I have too many that I've gotten tweaked with.
Blackgate Penitentiary is located on a small island in Gotham Bay, Gotham City.
All right.
So I want to say you're right, though, about Barry being there, too.
Yeah. It's hard to keep track of the meta prisons in this.
I know.
So then they go back. They're at Arrow headquarters. Everybody wins, right?
Everybody wins.
But, like, Connor's packing a bag. Not sure where he's packing a bag or what he's packing in it, because they came from the future just with their clothes.
So there's a couple of little funny things. Before I get to that, I apologize. We have to go to Russia next episode.
Oh, we're not there yet, though.
No? What did I miss?
Okay, so that's where Oliver takes Mia to the graves.
That's right.
They go, they have those moments in, hey, these are her parents. And she's like, oh, you knew them? And he's like, not really. I didn't find out about dad until after he was dead.
One of the graves is his other sister.
Yeah, was it Miko?
Yep.
There's that. That was a nice heartfelt piece. Then they talk about the Canary Network's not a bad idea. So then Dinah and Laurel were setting up Green Arrow and the Canaries for the next show that's going to come out. You had that, and then they say, yeah, it's going to be in Russia. So this episode was season 2.
Yes.
Right, which was when the Deathstroke gang was in there. Next episode is going to be season 5.
Of Russia.
Which was when they went to Russia before.
So they're going to Russia looking for what? What were they looking for in Russia?
Stuff.
Stuff.
They're looking for stuff in Russia.
But it's not plutonium.
Maybe.
It might be.
It was something. Okay. I don't know.
So.
And then we get the post scene with Laurel.
Oh, we're going to skip over Renee's mayor speech?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Where he's standing on the car?
Yeah.
In the Glades?
Yeah.
Talking about it's time to rise up?
Yeah.
And come together?
He's going to be Bane. Yeah, I got it.
Yes. The post credit, well, the post stinger is the Monitor or Anti-Monitor, we're not sure.
Right.
Showing up telling Laurel that
she's going to have to kill Oliver.
If she wants her universe back, she's going to have to kill Oliver Queen.
Right. Which, so this plays into a piece from the comics. So in the comic books, it's Harbinger is captured. One of her, she's able to split herself into multiple people.
Right.
in multiple people. So she goes, and one of them is captured by the anti-monitor. And now the anti-monitor tells her she's going to have to kill the monitor and basically incepts her. And Harbinger then has all these thoughts and then ends up killing the monitor.
Oh. Okay.
So I feel like that's what they're going to try and do with this, with Laurel playing that role in this and have to kill Oliver. But I don't think it's going to happen because Oliver's on the show after Crisis.
And Laurel is going to be part of the Canary, so right, you can't have her having killed Oliver Queen. And then, unless she's feeling so guilty.
We'll see.
So, this one website that I found that I kind of browsed through for the recaps, they're doing, apparently, Nyssa Watch. So, 4 episodes in and no Nyssa. I don't think you're going to see her because she's on Hawaii 5-0. And right. She probably doesn't have the time to
fly
do anything.
From Hawaii to
right.
Vancouver or Toronto or wherever they film.
So there were a couple of really good Laurel lines. My favorite one that I didn't write down, but I see looking on this website was, "Do you really think we change things tonight in the future? You mean in like a baby Hitler kind of way?"
Right.
Which was kind of funny. William had a great line about the kids, about having kids, because Oliver asks him at first if you have something about having kids, right. And he goes, "Don't get me wrong, kids are a miracle," or whatever. Like, it was a real nice little throwaway. Curtis is awesome. And again, the monitor showing up to Laurel, she really didn't act surprised at all. Like, she was just kind of like, "Okay, what do you want?"
Right. Yeah, we'll see.
The Arrow, I give the Arrow a nice 8 because I really love the emotional stuff with William. And,
yeah, Arrow's writing's been top-notch this season.
Yeah, and again, like you said, they're letting him act.
Right.
And
they're letting all of them act. It's they're going through character-driven. They're still having story developments, but they're using characters to drive it, whereas the other shows are all story and very little character development.
Right. So that's it for our recap.
Yeah.
The week coming up, we have our two favorite shows to recap.
Yeah.
Supergirl.
Girl power.
So look also for a little Mandalorian chat later in the week from us as Disney Plus is about to launch in 2 days as of we're recording this.
Yeah.
On Tuesday. And I'm extremely excited about seeing the Mandalorian. We're going to bring JJ in for a little chat, and if you're available.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
You can find Jack at the following places.
Kid Talks on Twitter and the Instagram.
I don't know why I led that with a question.
Yeah.
You can find us on social media everywhere. Just look for Nerd Revolution Radio. Instagram, Twitter, email, Gmail. Look all over the place. Last week I cut you off. We were saying goodbye. I had to do some clever editing to get the goodbye.
All good.
Because I hit the button too fast on a little new little toy on me.
All good.
So, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you.